Good morning and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
So our assignment from yesterday. Record what is true about you, the internalization of which would enable you not to fall for and be tortured by the self-hate conversation. Listen to and add to this recording as you get clearer about what is true about you. All right, here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Rebecca calling from the monastery.
Well, hello, Rebecca.
Hi. Okay, so I had a couple of memories come up in the last day or two of doing this workshop that felt kind of significant to the whole area, and particularly the question of what I would need to, you know, because of the assignment for today. So the first memory was when I was 14. Sorry, I was walking to get to a place where I could get connections, so I'm a little out of breath. So when I was 14, and a freshman in high school, this boy who was a senior wanted to date me. And my mother, being a single mom, asked her best friend, who was our guidance counselor, what she thought, if she thought this boy was too old for me and all that. And the guidance counselor said that, well, for most people, that would probably be true, but Rebecca is so mature that she can probably handle this. And so I was allowed to date this boy and whatnot. And then the second memory that was sort of related, that felt very related actually, was when I was a sophomore in college and dating the man who was going to become my husband. And I was raised, of course, you know, very religious. You didn't have sex until marriage and all that kind of thing. So I was talking to this priest who I knew, who I was in his Christian ethics class, and I was real involved in that, the university church, and I said, you know, kind of a confession of, well, I'm spending the night over at my boyfriend's house. We're not having sex, but we are spending the night together. And he told me, well, you know, most people, that would be very dangerous, but you could probably handle that, you know, that temptation or that situation. Just be careful that you can, you know. And then I go back to him, you know, about 6 months later. Well, I'm pregnant, and we are going to get married, and I know I can't get married in the church, but can, you know, and just wanted, he said, well, most people, that's true, but, you know, you have a deep understanding of marriage. Yeah. So do you see the pattern here?
Yes. Yes, you are the exception.
Uh-huh. Yes. And and where I went with that, where ego, I guess, went with it was, wow, people are really overestimating me, and I can't be trusted. And in a way, they can't be trusted either, because
that's right.
They're not right. They're
well,
they're,
and I would say the other one is the rules don't apply to you.
Which rules? The ones about
any,
not having
any of them. Any of them. For everybody else, that rule would apply.
Oh,
but
yes.
Not to you.
Yeah,
so with everybody else, you know, but not you.
Well, yes. Now, see, I believed deeply that the rules, the big rules of you don't have sex before marriage, things like that, that they did apply to me. And
no,
that, and
actually, no, you didn't. No, you didn't. Because you didn't follow them. We tend to follow the rules that we believe apply to us.
And I'm always, go ahead.
In awareness practice, I think that, I don't know, you could, you know, we can all see and let me know. The rule that we're applying to us is basically the only rules that apply to me are the ones that I want to follow.
Yeah, I can really see that in the other various areas of my life. And what I always believed was happening, though, this really kind of still feels like what was happening was I did believe in those rules, and I couldn't follow them. I failed. I screwed up. I didn't, you know, meant that I can't be trusted, and I'm...
Well, I wouldn't say it's either or. I was just pointing out that it's probably not helpful to go on believing that you thought those rules were valid. They may have been valid, but that didn't mean you were going to follow them. So when it came right down to it, what you went with was what you wanted, not the rules. And so I deeply believe that stealing is wrong. I deeply, deeply believe that, but I really want that thing. And I don't, and that's the only way I'm going to get it. So I'm going to take it. Then I feel bad about it. Of course, I'm going to be beaten for it. But it's just that I don't think it's helpful for us to hold beliefs that don't line up with what we're doing. So, you know, what is a rule? That might be an interesting place to look. So, you know, you shouldn't do this. You accept that. You believe that. Okay, I shouldn't do that, but then I do it. Where does that leave me? What's really going on there? Now, you can't be trusted. Well, you know, my teacher would say, we can all be trusted. We'll do exactly what we want to do. That's what we can trust. Mm-hmm. Now, whether we get a beating for it afterwards because you shouldn't have, it really kind of misses the point. Well, it really misses the point. It misses the point totally. It's how people continue to believe this is who I am when all the evidence is to the contrary. The proof that I am who I say I am or believe myself to be is that I get beaten when I'm not that way. Well, those are not the same thing. This might be one to listen to again.
Sherry, we might have lost Rebecca.
Oh, right at that critical juncture. All right. Well,
I know.
Of course, my encouragement was to listen to this again, and so that then I bet she will.
Okay.
We lost her.
Yeah, because what I was seeing in what you were saying, right, Sherry, is that it's that constant way that conditioning is smoke and mirrors. So here's the conditioned orientation that you have to follow. Here's what I want. I do what I want, and then I'm compared against the conditioned rule, and then I'm told what's wrong with me. And the conclusion that I draw is completely erroneous, and I either compensate for it the rest of my life, but that dance keeps happening. It doesn't actually change an exam. It doesn't prompt me to examine the conditioned rule, my behavior, or anything else. But the system, the process by which there's a reinforcement of who I am and who I'm not and what's wrong with me keeps happening.
Well, here we are in the country where it's raining. So
okay, I've got you back, and I have Rebecca back.
Okay. All right.
And I don't know if you heard anything I was saying, but here we go.
Yeah. No, I did. I did hear what you said, Ashwini, and I think. I mean, at some right, you saw when I dropped off, probably. And that, I think where I was without self-hate, if we would just simply watch, observe, notice how we are, we would get some clear information that we're not going to ever get from ego or from beliefs and assumptions.
Yes.
So that's where we were. And Rebecca, when you left, I was saying perhaps it would be helpful to listen to that again. And see what you see about that.
Yeah, and listen to whatever Ashwini said after I dropped off, that would be
right. Yeah. Until and well, I dropped off.
Yeah. We'll do.
Good. All right.
Thanks,
Rebecca.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Rebecca.
Bye-bye.
All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Swinney. This is Chris in North Carolina.
Hello, Chris.
Hello. Well, that was great. And the thing that was dropping in for me around that was that I followed the rules, again, the ones that I want to follow, in order to look mature. And so behind the scenes, then I can be kind of experimenting with life in whatever way that I feel like I want to, or along those lines. So
we're back to the secrecy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, which it applies to a lot of stuff, right? Not just sex or sexuality, right? But a lot of stuff. It's important that I look like the right person.
Exactly. Yeah, and then behind the scenes, it's dramatic, and there's a struggle and all kinds of other things going on. But yeah, there is that cardboard Henry that's out there, providing that look. So
that cover.
Yeah. The cover, yeah.
Yeah.
So the other thing I was looking at was, well, go ahead, Jerry.
Well, just one thing about that, because I think the way you laid that out is really important. There's the cardboard Henry or Henrietta, depending on our gender, that we put out to the world. And then behind it is all this struggle and suffering and chaos.
Yeah.
And so what's behind it is not a deep looking into what is so, right? The cardboard creates a safe place for ego to wreak havoc on a human life.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's all done behind that screen, as you say.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. There's torture going on, basically.
There's torture going on behind that screen, but nobody knows it because I
just
walk out with my little cardboard self out there in front, and I look fine, which, of course, just feeds all of that, right? What kind of a person are you? You act like you're that, but really what you are, but really we don't know what you are. Right?
Yeah.
Until there's that deep looking at who is this human being? What is actually going on?
Yeah.
Yeah. Underneath the chaos.
Exactly. Well, and that relates perfectly to this other thing I was looking at, which was kind of in looking at some of the self-hating messages around sexuality, it was clear that one of the things that conditioning wanted, but was requiring me to have is that they needed to be logical. It all needs to be logical. So that's the cardboard Henry. You know, it has to be presented to the world in a way that kind of makes sense. And of course, none of it makes sense, and it's completely messy. And the next layer down is when I start to look at, so, you know, what kinds of things am I attracted to, or along those lines. I'm not asking for any of it. These things, just like thoughts in my head, are just showing up. Like almost everything, right? So all of these, the talents that I have, the preferences I have, all of it, and they're just there, and they vary from time to time. And there's nothing logical about any of it. And so there's that requirement to have it be logical. And then, of course, it's impossible. And so, there's all the drama that comes with it.
Right. Oh, that's so helpful, Chris. Because all of it is in pursuit of maintaining a persona that ego feeds off of.
Exactly. 100%.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, it's just so amazing how complete that can be. So this notion of sensuality and sexuality, how conditioning wants to sexualize anything that's sensual. Because sex is, you know, sexuality is such a taboo, then it can extend that control into anything that's sensual, meaning anytime I'm in the senses, that can be made wrong. And right. It's just a complete negation, as we say, of the human.
Yeah. Yeah. And all designed to keep us from looking anywhere that would actually be helpful in finding freedom.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, with that, the what was dropping in for me was that what conditioning fears the most is something like having a grown-up in the room when sexuality or sensuality is happening, because that grown-up, that the mentor, can help sort out what of all of us arising, you know, is going to move towards compassion or one's relationship to it. You know, what's compassionate in relation to what's arising? And, of course, that's the conditioning has no desire whatsoever for that.
No. Because the thing that, another way of saying what you just said is what ego conditioning really fears is paying attention.
Yeah.
Right?
That
you're going to actually be present to what's going on.
Yeah.
And clearly you already are, because you've noticed how this stuff just pops up. Just it's like popcorn in a pot, right? It's just boom, 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 boom.
Yeah.
And then we are trained to go with whichever one has the most juice. Right. Even when that's going on, the popcorn is still popping. It's just and that's what we think we are. So to do what you're describing, which is why I'm really glad I'm a Buddhist, because if I were part of any other tradition, the way I approach life would probably get me stoned or hanged or whatever, right? Which is, for heaven's sake, do whatever, but pay attention.
Yeah.
Right? Just as you're saying, be there. Be there. Be there with the mentor. Have backup, right? And break it down. Really see through it. Well, what about that belief? What about that assumption? Okay, if that, then is it really... Who says that's wrong? Where does that come from? Why do I believe that? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. As you're saying that, it's and I know I've heard you say this a number of times. The power is in awareness, and so that puts us in a place of not power over, but kind of power with life.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And it's, as far as I can tell, it's the road to freedom, because this old business you're told all of the things that you can't, and then you're turned loose in life, and you're a good person as long as you don't, and you're a bad person if you do, and it takes, I think, incredible courage to question that.
Mm. Yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah, because you're going to go up against all of that, I mean, centuries of beliefs and assumptions and judgments and criticism and that sort of thing. Based on what? Who says so?
Yeah.
Who says so? Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, Chris. That is hugely helpful.
Thank you. Oh, you know, one last thing, Sherry, and just with all of that, the last place I went to was, like, we don't refer to it as my conditioning. To not refer to sexuality as my sexuality anymore. It's just sexuality, and end of story.
Yeah. End of story. And if it's not about you, then you're free to explore it. If it's all about you, it's just hopeless. You can't do it.
Yeah. It will resist being sorted out. Yeah, for sure.
Yes, exactly. All right. Thanks, Chris.
All right. Yeah, thank you.
Thanks,
Bye-bye.
Chris.
Sherry, I'm just going to bring on the next caller. I'm reestablishing the queue here. So here we go. Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, hello, Isotta here.
Hey.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, perfectly. What are you seeing?
I'm so glad to be on because it is so interesting, and I think I'm on the verge of seeing something, but I still am in the dark. The the thing that I was looking at the beginning of the month, the thing that I thought was, let me catch the breath, sorry. So the thing that I thought was the thing I wanted to look at was the power game that would happen after having sex. Because I thought that what was happening to me was that I am not in any relationship. I have no problem whatsoever with casual sex. And the only problem that I have is the power game afterwards. And by power game, I was referring to, does he call me? Do I call him? Who has the power? Who won over the other, you know? Like there was an idea that... But then, throughout these weeks, I'm starting to doubt that this is the real issue, you know? I'm starting to think, especially with the last 2 days of exercise, that the problem is that I think I'm unworthy of anything more than casual sex.
And I'm not sure. Are you able to hear that or see that without self-hate?
Yes.
Let
me rephrase it. It's not that I think I'm unworthy. Conditioning thinks that I'm unworthy of anything more than casual sex. I know that I'm perfectly worth it. But I'm confused because what you were saying to Rebecca, that at the end, one does what they want. So if I'm 40 and I'm happily single enjoying my life, it is very likely that this is what I want. Otherwise, I would be married with kids, right? I'm very confused.
Well, confusion is, as we know, is not a bad place. It just means, and you said it, you're in the dark. You're looking to conditioned mind to figure this out. And
yes.
And you know that's not
the place.
That's not the place. So here's, this dropped in a minute ago, and so I want to offer you this to consider, okay? Somebody said to me, told me once, I go to bed with somebody, one person, and I wake up the next morning a completely different person. You with me?
Mm-hmm. Like that the aspect that goes to bed is not the aspect that wants something else the following morning.
That's exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so it just occurs to me that that might be a helpful place to look. And it's the paying attention to what's going on, what are you hearing, what's happening in the lead up. Then it doesn't sound like the sex itself is an issue. So that's fine. I mean, you want to stay present because why would you want to miss it?
Mm-hmm.
But that's not a problem. But then what happens after? Paying really close attention, almost a process map kind of, and then this, and then this, and then I hear this, and then I feel that, and then that occurs, and then, okay. So going into it, what's the reality that you're living in? And coming out of it, what is the reality you're living in?
Yes. And it was so lucky because I had this kind of stuff happening to me exactly in the days when we were supposed to write the voices, the beginning of the month. And it was incredible, the kind of stuff that came up. And, you know, just one more super quick thing that I owe to practice, you know, that sex and music... I had no idea what it was to enjoy it before practice and to be present to it. I would go to a concert, let's use music that it's easier to talk about, and just think about something else throughout the concert. And I remember once after leaving the monastery, after the There's Nothing Wrong With You retreats, I met with my parents in Los Angeles and we went to a concert and I was like, why are they dragging me here? And I was crying and moved at how beautiful the music was, and I had never been able to enjoy it before. So thank you so much.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that is such a testimony about practice, right? The difference, what life is like when we're here and what life is like when we're off in conditioned mind, whatever the in-the-world conditioned mind has going on. It could be, you know, you could be in a concert having a sexual fantasy, and you would not have, right? You would not have that same kind of experience that you had being completely present with the music.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's so good. Thank you, Isota.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
Thanks, Isota. Sherry, we have time for one more caller. So here we go.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Pasha.
Hello, Pasha.
Good morning.
What are you seeing?
I'm seeing we need to do it again. It's such a...
Maybe a year, right?
Yes. It's such a, like, a ball of yarn and all the beliefs around... you know, sexuality, and I see there is a kind of a strong habit of avoiding and escaping. So even staying present on these calls is a challenge. I find kind of surprising, is like, wow, I just like I'm trying to participate, but I have I'm struggling with it. While other topics and other months were not as much. That's interesting. So
That's interesting. There's a clue.
Yes. But at the same time, you know, here I am. I'm on the call and I'm in the queue. Despite all the resistance which I feel in my gut, that it feels like it feels like, you know, like I feel this resistance in the body not to look and not to stay with. And there's so many things I see at the days when I'm here that overwhelming. That's what, as people are sharing, I'm seeing like, oh, this happens to me in the teenage years. And, that's where it started. That's what's going on with my child, who is 8. And he is, you know, very sexual being to kind of, which I'm not allowed to say and admit.
Yeah, so you're seeing a lot in a lot of different areas of your life, and what you're very aware of is how devoted conditioning is to shutting all of that down. And the connection with how it does that, right? Grabs hold of your guts and and makes that such an awful experience which I think applies in a lot of places for a lot of folks. Makes the physical experience so unpleasant that you just don't want to look at that. Yeah, I don't want to look at that because I know how I'm going to feel. Yeah. I don't want to feel that way.
Yes. And I remember I had this physical sensation when I was at the monastery on some of a retreat, and I was like surprised. Oh, wow, I wanted to go there. I am there. And I'm faced with this physical sensation, that in my mind, conditioning would translate into, well, I just can't do that. You know, I've tried, I went on a retreat, and it's just not for me. And I saw that, like, wow, this is such a setup to quit practice at most interesting places to find this excuse into, like, translate this body sensation to say, yep, that just this practice just doesn't work for me. It's just not for me. Let's just get out of here. But
I'm
very grateful.
So again, I just did a little newsletter article on it, which I've gotten a lot of feedback. It's not as clear as I hoped it would be. But you are speaking it exactly. So over the years, you were talked into and talked out of all kinds of things. And then you started doing practice, and you started choosing showing up and paying attention over whatever that conversation was. Now you're to the point of realizing that if you go deeper, if you want to start exploring things that are really taboo for ego, then it's going to try to do the same. It's going to try to talk you into quitting. Not because this practice isn't for you, but because this practice isn't for ego. And you're seeing that. And you're seeing
perfect.
That.
Perfect, exactly. This practice is not for ego. And I'm so grateful to have these breakthroughs of seeing how it tries to talk me into quitting the practice. It's amazing to see it from the other side. And I'm very excited. I'm packing to the weekend at the monastery.
We'll see you
soon. And I'll see you in a few hours.
Pasha, have you, and I might not get to say this again, please do something like a process map on that getting talked into and getting talked out of, because you are so right there. If you can get really clear about everything it does to control you in that way, it's going to clear up a lot of stuff and open a big freeway for you to go into every life experience where it still has control over you. So, maybe not
huge.
Immediately, but put up a big sign for yourself, okay? All right, good.
Yes.
Thank
well
you,
Pasha. Well, no. Thank you.
All right.
Yeah, sure.
See you in a little bit. Okay, bye-bye. Okay.
Thanks, Pasha. And that brings us to the end of the show, Sherry. It's Thursday, so we have an assignment. I almost thought it was Friday because usually we start practice weekends on Friday, but here we go. We are conditioned to be a human sacrifice. We're sacrificed to maintain karma. Example, what wants to be free of conditioning's control is not allowed to participate in the process that would lead to its freedom.
Uh-huh.
Now that encapsulates our entire practice.
Boy.
Yes. Whew. Assignment. What of you is sacrificed when the karma is chosen? Record and listen to what you see.
I'm glad we have tomorrow to talk about that one.
I know.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Sherry.
Take care, everybody who's coming to the weekend. That would include you, Ashwini. Travel safely in a rainy California weekend. And everybody go happy, please.
Make sure you pack for the cold.
Pack for the cold. Pack for the cold and the rain. That's so weird. All right. Thanks, Ashwini. Thank you, everybody.
Take care.